therefore, that they who are of faith, the same are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they who are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. What this is saying is first, verse 6, Abraham believed in the seed that God promised. He believed in that the seed would be the fulfillment of all things. That the seed would be the one out of whom everything would be fulfilled. He believed concerning himself that he was bankrupt. He believed that he was of the old, or old, and unable in himself to bring forth. Amen? In himself. No ability, no strength. He believed that. This was his faith. Now, we know from verse 16 in this very chapter, and we'll read it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said, not to seeds as of many, but as of one unto thy seed, which is Christ. The seed was never Isaac or Jacob or all of those people. The seed, according to this verse right here, is one. One for all generations. One for all people. One faith held, each person holding one seed in faith as the fulfillment of what God had in mind. He put his whole faith in that seed, not in himself. All right. That's verse 6. Verse 7, know ye therefore, okay, good. This is good. Verse 6, this is good about this man 4,000 years ago. But now Paul wants to talk about you. Know ye therefore that they who are of faith, they who are of faith. Okay. What kind of faith? Faith in the Christian God? No. Faith in the Christian religion? No. The Christian God is the same one as it was the Jewish God. They didn't switch off gods. Am I right or wrong? It's the same one. Abraham didn't believe in the Jewish God. Abraham believed in the seed and the God who had promised him coming forth, raising him up in the dead, out from among the dead. Abraham believed that. You can find that in the book of Hebrews if you're not sure. Abraham believed that. So the faith that he's talking about here is specific to Abraham. And the faith that he's talking about here is relating only to those who have this specific kind of faith. So it's not talking about a faith in Christian doctrine. Abraham knew nothing of Christian doctrine, and yet it's telling us that you are right on the right track and have the right faith if you believe in the seed. Do you mind see what this is saying? This has, in Abraham's mind, nothing to do with the Christian religion. It has everything to do with the seed that is going to come forth in him. And through that seed will be everything that God promised. Everything will be fulfilled and everything that he ever desired. Can I get amen? Now, it's telling Christians to have the faith of Abraham. We'll read on to make sure you see that. But at this point, he's saying, know ye therefore that if you have this same faith that Abraham has, you're counted as his, as the sons of Abraham. Or what you would call the Jews. Remember what we read in Romans last class in Romans chapter 2? That a Jew is not one who is outward in religion, but inward of the heart. The circumcision is the heart. So he's saying, the promise always was for those who had faith. Those who had specific faith. Those who had Abraham type faith. Verse 8. And is a conjunction. Tying the last sentence about, and ye, if you have this faith, are counted as the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles through faith. What is that saying? It's saying that when God included the Gentiles all the way back in the Old Covenant, He was saying they would be justified, or they would come in, or they would be accepted, or they would become as the sons of Abraham if they had faith in the seed. Do you hear what that just said? And the scriptures foreseeing what? According to what? Foreseeing according to this plan that Abraham believed in the seed. Boom! And if you don't believe that, that's in Genesis 15 where the first time he said, and then Genesis 15 is where he started describing the seed. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed what he was saying about the seed being the fulfillment of everything that God had in mind. And he's saying, you, any, folks, he's not talking, Paul is not talking to you right here. He's talking to any you that's sitting in front of him. He's talking to the yous of Galatia that have different faces than you, that have different personalities than you, that are of another culture and another background than you, but that probably have a specific kind of faith. They've cut their teeth on the gospel that Paul preached. Not the gospel of salvation, the gospel of the seed, the gospel of the, yes, salvation, but it is salvation through the seed, through Him being the fulfillment of all things. And so he's saying to you Galatians, as he is saying to you new creations, if your faith rests in the seed, in the promise of God, see, in the promise of God, the promise of God was the seed. Not some ethereal promise. Well, I just trust in the promise of God. God said He'd give me a Cadillac and when did He say that to you? In a prophecy that I got in the church. God's promise was not a Cadillac or a BMW. God's promise was the seed. And He promised it. He promised that He would satisfy the Father. He promised you that you wouldn't have to do this by works. You wouldn't have to do it by religion. You wouldn't have to do it by Judaistic means. You would do it by life, but not just any old life, a life, the seed that He promised. And we're not waiting for that seed. He's in us and we trust in Him. Do you see that? So, therefore, he says, and the scriptures foreseeing that this was going to be God's modus operandi, mode of operating, that even Gentiles, not Jews, that it wasn't a Jew outwardly, because Paul was not a Jew outwardly. He was the fulfillment of all that it was meant by believing in the seed, by preaching the seed, by living according to the life of Christ, while his brethren, Jews in the natural, were being rejected, not because the Jews were rejected, but because there was no faith in the seed. Just like Christians can be rejected by rejecting the seed. You know, the gospel is not believing a set of doctrines. The gospel is not believing some little truths, you know, the seven steps of, you know, whatever. The gospel is believing in a person. Faith is counted to you for right standing. Faith in the seed that you are in and is in you. Okay? So, foreseeing that this would be the way that God would operate, that he would justify the Gentiles also in this manner. Is that not what it's saying? I mean, look at the scripture. That is what it's saying. Preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Okay, here's our comprehension of that. In you, Abraham, you're going to bring forth a big Jewish nation and they're going to be blessed. And then, through you, let's just say, through you, Jesus will come and then all the nations will be blessed. That's the general understanding of that scripture. That's not what it's saying at all. It's staying in context with what he's talking about here. And when he says that, wherefore, you know, seeing that this is the way that God operates, that he only accepts those who accept the seed, there is no works that's going to make you acceptable in his sight. Only the seed will make you acceptable in his sight. Therefore, that's why he's included the Gentiles through faith. Notice he didn't just say including the Gentiles. Through this faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in you, meaning all of those who are like you, all of those who have faith in the seed like you, in those who are in the same manner and mode and faith as you, are counted as the son. The same are the sons of Abraham. The same are the seed, and not the seed, but the same are the ones who believe in the seed. Counted as the seed, because you're one with him. You're reckoned as one with him. In the mind of the Father, that won't change. You are reckoned as one with His Son. It won't change. You can change. You can judge by your works every day, and you can walk after an old covenant Jewish manner if you want to, but God doesn't judge by that. The best thing for you to do is get off of your old covenant ways and start trusting in the seed and in the seed alone. For there is salvation in no other. Salvation from whatever you got, there ain't no salvation from it. In Abraham, those who are the way, that have the faith of faithful Abraham, are reckoned as the seed. Therefore, next verse, so then they who are of faith, so then, in thee shall all nations be blessed, so then, they who are of faith. Do you see? He's tying, so then, is tying, in thee shall all nations be blessed, with, so then, if you've got faith, you're one of those that would be in Abraham, Gentiles, Mexicans, Cubans, Americans, you know, Europeans. If you have this specific faith, then you who are of faith are right there with Abraham. God didn't bless in Abraham. God blessed the way of Abraham's faith, if you understand what I mean. In other words, Jews came out of Abraham and they're not blessed. If they don't believe in the seed, they're just like anybody else. So it's not in the man, it's in the faith of the man, the manner of the faith of the man. It's all here in the context. If you'll just take the time to really look at this, you'll find that that's exactly what this is saying. And if you don't find it good, You don't have to believe what I believe. But I'm telling you, after many years of study, that's what that's saying. This is not an issue of God's going to bless a whole lot of people that are outside of Christ and outside the seed and outside of faith. That's not what it's saying. It's saying all of those who have this kind of faith, and it started with that in verse 6, and he jumps into the law, but he keeps jumping back to this subject, and every time he gets clearly back on this subject, he reaffirms this over and over and over again. This baby is based on faith and faith alone. And after all, you know, grow in faith. After all, the only thing that you have to offer God, there's not a thing you can do. There's not a sacrifice you can give. The only thing that you can really give Him that makes a difference is faith. Is that right or wrong? Think about it. But it's not just faith in an ethereal God. It is faith in the seed that fulfills all. And belief in that. And with that is included, I'm dead, I'm old, and I'm not the one. Never will be. My only hope is that God brings this thing out of me, because I'm totally convinced that I'm beyond my abilities. Can I get amen from somebody? It's all mingled together in the faith of Abraham. It's all mingled. You can go to Romans, you can go to Hebrews, and it'll tell you the same thing. It's bearing down on this fact that Abraham has nothing and will not fulfill one thing if this seed doesn't come forth. There won't be any people. There won't be, let's just put it on a natural level. There won't be any people. There won't be any seed. There won't be any nation. There won't be none of that. Nothing will ever be fulfilled. But Abraham actually believed the true gospel and believed in the seed. Jesus said that. Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. Woo! The seed! Yeah! It's not going to be Isaac. I see what you're talking about. And that in all generations there will be people who will put their trust not in themselves but in Him. And he rejoiced. He saw the dawning of the day star and the day dawn arising in your heart. All right. So, verse 10, he starts getting into the law. Let's see. Look at verse 15. Now let's go back to 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, the word Spirit there in the Greek is not capitalized. You can believe that that's receiving the Holy Spirit. I have a feeling that what this is saying is the Spirit of the thing, just like it did in Romans 2, that you can receive. This all doesn't come through the Holy Spirit. This comes through Jesus Christ. And it says right there, it says on the Gentiles, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the Spirit, or the promise of the Spirit of this thing. The Spirit of it is Christ. The Spirit of it is the life of Christ. Certainly we want to receive the Holy Spirit. Certainly if you want to speak in tongues, good. Certainly, you know, I'm not against any of that, nor am I trying to take that away at all. I'm just saying that that Romans 2 was talking about the outward as opposed to the inward, the Spirit as opposed to the letter. And the Spirit of this thing is faith in a person that fulfills. The Spirit of this thing, the Spirit, I'm telling you, Abraham got hold of this. He saw this thing and it affected his life. And he saw the Spirit of the thing, and a whole nation was spawned out of the man who missed the Spirit of the thing. Which ought to tell you something. You know. Tells you that it's not based on people joining something. Can I get amen? It's not based on signing up, or, you know, it's based on Christ and Christ's life. The only purpose for a place like this, the only purpose for classes like this, is so people will come and begin to hunger after Jesus, so that their faith begins to line up with Abraham's, which is in, and it has nothing to do with Abraham. It's just that you believe the way Abraham did. It's not Abraham's faith at work in you or any of that, you know, voodoo, whatever, you know, it's not weird stuff. It's simply that you figured out, just like Abraham did, that there ain't no hope in me, but God's given me a hope and it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. And you really believe that, boom, you're right there. Same faith. Same faith. And therefore, you're one with all of those who believe. All right, so verse 15, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet it, if it be confirmed, no man annulleth or addeth to it. This covenant was with Abraham. This is not the law. This covenant was, I'm going to give you a seed. Amen? And I'm going to be happy with it. And that's a big deal. You know, that's a big deal. Because those of you who have worked to make God happy know how big a deal that is. When He promises to give you a seed that's going to make Him happy, you're finally happy. You know? And so, He's saying the covenant that Abraham had with God was not about doing right and wrong. Was not about a law. Was not about shaping up. Was not about trying harder. The covenant that God made with Abraham was about a seed that would come out of you when you have no ability to do what's necessary. Amen? Well, Paul is saying here, if that's a covenant, I speak just after the manner of men. I mean, I'm not trying to convince you on any higher level than just after the manner of men, though it be even just a man's covenant. If it's confirmed, no man can disannul it. So this baby's still going on today. Those that will line up with God and believe in God's promise concerning His seed will receive the seed. Not in salvation, not in your heart, as the fulfillment of all that God wants. Yes, in salvation. Yes, in your heart. But that's not the fulfillment. The fulfillment and that's not the faith. The faith is, see, Lord help me. Why is this one pointing back that direction? Never mind. I don't know what's going on. God didn't say to Abraham, I'm going to make a covenant with you where you won't burn in hell. He didn't say, I'm going to make a covenant with you for you to believe about the seed in your heart. His covenant was about the seed coming forth through Him in His own flesh and body coming out of Him. That's the faith that we're supposed to be having. Huh? That's the kind of faith that it's telling us to line up with. And He's saying, God made a covenant. And apparently the way this sounds, and I'm just telling you the way this sounds, because he keeps applying it to the Gentiles that were in the future, whosoever will that will believe in this way. Do you see what I'm saying? It's almost as if God, when God said this to Abraham, He wasn't talking to the man, He was talking to the kind of faith that he had. Because He just kind of released it for whosoever will, which included Gentiles. So it's not an individual man thing. It's a whosoever will thing, but it's specific to the kind of faith you have. So God released this covenant that cannot be superseded by the law. Cannot be disannulled by the law. And that's what He gets into next. He gets into all of that to show that there is a covenant that you can trust in, that God will bring forth His seed in you. and in truth has brought forth his seed in you, but will manifest that in your mortal flesh. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man annulleth it or addeth to it. It's done. He's saying, if you want to line up with this, it's yours just as much as it was Abraham's. Does that sound good to anybody? Okay, picture this. God looks at Abraham and goes, well, he ain't no different than Sarah. You know, or Carolyn, Alan, or he, you know, Abraham looks and he says, you're just a man that is a weak vessel that's believing in something greater than you to come out of you. That's what you are. And he looks away from Abraham and says, you're just a vessel, a weak vessel that has no ability in yourself, but you're believing in something greater than you that I put in you. And he looks away from Sarah over to Carolyn and says, you're just a weak vessel that has no ability, but you're believing in the Son and the seed that I put in you as the fulfillment of everything, and that's where your faith lies. So he doesn't say, oh, great Abraham, great Sarah, great Carolyn. He goes, oh, the great seed that's going to come forth. We've given Abraham too much honor. The great thing about Abraham is he believed rightly. Well, that is a pretty cool deal, since so many don't. At least his aim was right. You know what I mean? He's not just shotgun. You know, the next wave, put a hole in the wave. You know, he saw the issues of God's heart. He built an altar every time he heard something new about it. See. So, what do you think the next verse is? Oh yeah, there it is. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. He's showing that the covenant that cannot be disannulled is this. To Abraham and his seed was this promise made, and the promise is this seed that fulfills it for whosoever will. Gentile or, I mean, you just put that on the globe, and you just find anybody there, anybody here. It doesn't matter what continent, what place, what... You know, wherever you find faith in the seed, God's covenant stands strong. As for me, he said to Abraham, my covenant is with you. When did he say that? After he got off and made Ishmael. But he's saying, put your faith back in the seed. And it's all that went before, all the mess ups. Count as nothing. I'm only interested in the seed. Is this good news to anybody? Let's drop down to... let's go all the way down to verse 26. Galatians 3. For you are all the sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, he's making kind of a leap here, and you have to follow the scriptures. You know, the scriptures are very specific, and we just read them generally. We need to be more specific. Do you remember over in the same chapter, but in verse 7, it called us the sons of Abraham? You remember that? What was that a reference to? Faith. That was a reference to faith. You are just like you're birthed out from the guy that I really appreciated that believed in my seed above himself. You're just like one of his sons, one of his progenitors, the real Jew, however you want to put it. But now, he says, in verse 26, for you are all the sons of God. And the original Greek in both of those isn't children, it's sons, if you'll check it out. For you're all the sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now that's a leap. Anybody see the leap? You were the son of Abraham, now you're a son of God. Folks, the best the Jews hoped for was to be a Jew after Abraham. To be able to call him Father Abraham. I got news for you. Big news. You're not just on track. You're not just the right people. You are a son of God by Christ Jesus. Not a son of Abraham. Yes, you are a son of Abraham in the way that it mentioned it, that you have the same faith that Abraham. But once you have that faith, you're God's son because you're one with the Son. You're in the family. You're part of and one with Jesus. You are counted as the seed. You are reckoned as one with Him. You are not just elevated as one of the peculiar people, one of the special people in the earth. My God, is that all we're after? You know, well, I'm a Christian. That makes me a special person in the earth. Well, whoopee. You know. Sorry, but that's, you know. Compared to being a son of God. Come on. Just try to move everything out of the way and peer into that little baby. A son of God. And it still has this faith element. For you're all the sons of God by faith in Jesus Christ. When you're in Him. Remember how we, you know, it's not just faith at Him, but in Him. In Him, you're one with Him. Anytime it says in, don't just, you know, we can only draw it like this, so we always draw it like this, and I think that that's a disservice to our minds. In, every time you see the word in, you ought to think one with. Totally in union. In union. How about in union? Always think in union. And union isn't that we're good friends. Union is like a branch to the vine. That when He looks at you, He considers. Have you ever seen a vine? You ever seen a grapevine? There's no tree trunk. It's all branches. Isn't it? It's all branches. So that when you see the vine, you see the branches. When you see the branches, you're looking at the vine. Now, let it be made clear that I'm not saying you're God. You're not God. And you're never going to be God. Nor will you ever be elevated to a position, thank God, of having the power of God or being God-like in any way. If you have the faith of Abraham, your hope is that I am a useless vessel without the seed. Do you understand? But with the seed, He's everything to me. You see, there's a whole different thing at work. Don't tell me you got the faith of Abraham and think you're turning into some sort of God or a little Jesus. You'll never be a little Jesus. This faith puts everything in order. We have this treasure. What words from one who truly understands. We have this treasure. Can you hear not the words, not the doctrine? Can you hear the heart of one who says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Vaso de barro. I love the way that is in Spanish. So that the excellency of the power will be of God and not of us. This man has the right faith. And he's teaching the right faith. This man will never elevate himself to something. Period. This man will always know. He could have said, you know, any number of things, but he called him a treasure. Treasure. We have this treasure. He treasured what was in him above himself. He reckoned himself now dead, unable to bring forth if it hadn't been for this treasure. And he'll never ever stray from that. He will not stray from that because he's seen it. He's seen the truth of the treasure himself, and he's seen the truth of the vessel. Romans 6 and Romans 7. Romans 6, the truth of the treasure. Romans 7, the truth of the total inability to do it in ourselves. If you ever see that, and I mean you see it, I mean by revelation, I mean unveiling where you see you and then you see Him, there will never, I'm telling you, they can be so branded in you that you're not deceived. And when you see people, you pick up quickly on people that, you know, think they got some or they're something or, you know, God's made me, you know, I'm the anointed, I'm, you know, I'm the anointed. You know what the word anointed means? The anointed, that's the Christ. I'm the Christ. We ought to just start throwing tomatoes at them. You ain't the Christ. Get over there. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I think we ought to just do that. From now on, let's hey, never mind. My mind runs too quick. I can think of some things, but try to finish this up here. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Baptized represents death. But you've gone down into death and come up with the resurrection himself. That's what that means. And he says you've now put on Christ. There is neither Jew, there's no more Jew. There's not Greek, there's bond, not free, there's not male, not female. It's not any of that. Here's the deal. It's not just, this thing has been elevated. It's not just that this Jew over here has the faith of Abraham, and this Gentile American has it, and this South American has the faith of Abraham, and therefore, no, you have been reckoned as the seed. For you are all one. There's not Jew anymore. There's not Jew believer. There's not a completed Jew. I'm a completed Jew. You're a complete something, but I'm sorry. I'm Jewish, and so I have a right to say some stuff. I'm not anti-Semitic because I'd have to beat up on myself, which I'm German Jew, so I'm liable to do it. My point is that there's this, what the scriptures say, there's neither Jew. The scriptures say that it has all been reduced down, cut away. There's not Jew, there's not Greek, there's not bond, there's not free, there's not all that, but you are all one over here. You're not in the earth. You're not, you might physically be in the earth, but what's of it is not in the earth. What's of it is here. What's of, what you are of. You're not of the earth. It is a oneness into Him where you are now not a Christian, Gentile, American trying to please God. Trying to live and order your life pleasing. You are a son of God by Christ Jesus. And the only pleasure God will get out of you is Christ. And everything else, no matter how righteous, He calls not just Old Covenant, He calls it Phariseeism. Trying to be the seed when you're not it. Trying to be the one that pleases the Father when you're not it. And you can't, and you won't ever. You see, just a good old solid revelation of Christ would fix that, wouldn't it? wouldn't it? I mean, it would just obliterate that. It would just boom. And you would just know, because I know that that happened in me. And, you know, I'm not saying I'm perfect or anything. I'm just saying that there came an obliteration one day when all of my thoughts, all of my burdens of trying to please the Father, I realized that God didn't want me at all. He wanted His Son, and I dropped my burdens and I got focused. And I said, just form the one that pleases you in me and be happy. Huh? This is my beloved Son. And He always says that. The only time He spoke into the earth, or one of the few, but every time it was always about this beloved Son. So when He looks at you, He doesn't say, you're my beloved Son. He says, do I see my beloved Son? Do I see? Is that Him? Is this? And if it's not Him, then don't be deceived about yourself. He's not jumping up and happy with what you did or how Christ-like it looks. Or He's not deceived. He knows what's His Son and He knows what's us. You know, you say, well, I'm doing some bad things right now. Well, you know, worse than that, you're doing some good things and thinking that you're okay with that. You know, I'm like Jesus. I can put up with people doing bad stuff and knowing that they need Him. It's the people that are doing good stuff and thinking me. You know, because at least people that have problems know they need Jesus and they're after Jesus. It's people that think they're all right and they're doing so many good things that there's no hope because they already have what they think that they're after. All right. So for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ's, I love that. That word Christ means you're one with Him. You have part with me. You have part with me. Then are you Abraham's seed and heirs to the whole deal because you have faith in the seed and are counted as the seed and the seed is your life. He's not just your hope. He's your life. Yes, His life is your hope. But His life is your life. You might as well reckon on it. Let me just try to close with this. In Romans 6. Yes. Romans 6. It says, just as Christ died, so you reckon yourself dead because you were one with Him when He died and the whole purpose of His death was to put you to death. So just as Christ died, reckon you, count on the fact that you're dead. Count on the fact now. Listen, He's not saying reckon yourself dead. Okay, how do I do it? You're dead. You know, you're dead. He's saying count on the fact. You can't see that by looking at you. You see that by looking at Him and believing that you were in Him when it happened. Faith. But that's not the end of it. And that's where almost all preachers end it. And then it says, and also reckon yourself alive unto God through Jesus Christ. That means you're not alive unto God through you. Man, has there been a rash of wild babies tonight? I appreciate the faithfulness of those who come with their kids and stuff, but I don't know that you're getting a lot with all that's going on. Poor people. It's probably more torment for the parents. Reckon ye yourself alive. Oh, glory to God. Can you get that? You have to count yourself alive through Jesus Christ. I'm alive because Christ is my life. If you don't ever put faith in that, how's He ever going to come forth and overcome the stuff that you would like to see gone? I mean, really, and again, that's not the goal, but how is that ever going to happen? You've got to put faith in that. You've got to say, I am alive. Not I'm going to be alive someday. I'm alive through Jesus Christ. And when stuff of you starts coming for you, you say, You're dead. I count that you're dead when Jesus died, but Christ is my life. Now, that may not just be a magical tool that you use. In fact, it won't be. It's going to be a faith that starts kicking in as the Spirit of God keeps opening your eyes to the cross. And you keep seeing the cross, and you keep seeing the cross, and you keep seeing the resurrection as a person, and then you begin to realize and count on it. I count on the fact that I'm dead. I count on it. If it's not true, there's no hope for me. I count on the fact that I'm alive unto God. Not based on my works. Not based how good I'm doing today. Well, I didn't do that thing yesterday, so God was real pleased yesterday. If it's not His Son, might as well go do it. You don't hear that a lot. They'll be coming for me one day. See, once you start putting it out there, they're going to hear it. I'm not opening the door to sin. I'm telling you that a Pharisee, I'm telling you that self-righteousness is just as bad as self-centeredness. Because self-righteousness is self-centered. It's one and the same. This whole thing comes down to faith. It does. I mean, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But it's not your faith that pleases Him. It's the fact that you have faith in the seed that pleases Him. It's the fact that you have faith in His seed, which seed pleases Him. But He's glad for you because your faith knits the thing together. You know what I'm saying? It starts making it where it can manifest, where you can be a partaker of it. Not just a spiritual believer of it. And there is a difference. If you believe, it will manifest. But you have to reckon on it, rely on it, trust that the cross did what He said He would, and that the resurrection is who He says He is. And quit looking at the resurrection as something that's going to happen to you, and look at it as a person who is now in you. And if you do that, the Father will fulfill His promise to manifest a seed out of your mortal flesh. Because you have faith in Him, in His Word, in His promise, in the truth, in the life that He's put in you, in the work that He did at the cross. And you're not wasting all your faith shooting around trying to get a Cadillac, more money over here, and a better job, and get Sister Susie to quit bugging you. Not that there's anything wrong with believing, you know, whatever. But the truth of the matter is, isn't it interesting that we're talking about faith and we hadn't really, you know, mentioned money yet? All we talked about for the first two sessions is Jesus. But I believe that if you're an Abraham, God will take care of you. Meaning a man of faith. You understand what I'm saying? I believe God will take care of you. He abundantly took care of Abraham, but Abraham wasn't, I don't believe he's out counting his cattle and going, "Woo, I'm special to God." I think he really had a relationship with the Lord that was so special that in light of that, how many cows he had really didn't matter that much. You know? That's my thought. All right, well, so let us remove ourselves from the world of our life. And let us begin to remove ourselves from the world of our lives and begin to seek the world of our true life, hid with Christ in God. So that there will be an appearing. So that there will be a fulfilling of all that has been spoken. But it cannot happen. It is foolish for you to hope one day for it to happen. It is a waste of years to assume that it's just going to happen. It will not. There will have to be a day when you break with your life here and begin to say, my life on this earth as I live it, even as in the best of form, is worthless without the seed. I must have an all-out, full-blown revelation of Jesus Christ. And I break with you right now. And so when you say, well, I have to go to work. When you mess up, you go, you know, you're going to do that until it's Christ. And when you're trying to do something good, you say, I do what I do to the glory of God, but not assuming that this is bringing any honor or anything except through the seed. I want a revelation of Christ. I'm not doing this to please man. And that's what it said in Romans, whose praise is of God and not of men. And things just begin to settle down in you. Your focus becomes clear. Your purpose, who you are, is yet to be fully revealed to you. But you are content to find out the life that is going to come through you. And the earthen vessel will be what it will be, but Jesus is going to be what He's going to be in me. And you say, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm going to get the Lord. Now that's not a superior self-righteous thing. That's like a commitment. I don't know about anyone else, but I'm not going to waste 3 years or 10 years or 30 years. I'm going in to the land. I'm going in. And all the things that have made me afraid, I don't care. God is well able. God is well able. I'm going in. Let's go. Let's go in. Pretty soon you'll start yelling that to other people. Come on, get up. I recognize that. What's at work in you? That's me. I got rid of that. I guess it went into you. I know how to deal with it. Get up. And we need to start doing that to one another. You need to start looking at somebody that you know cares. Now, if you know they don't care, don't bug them. Let them live in their flesh. God will eventually do what He's going to do with them. Am I right or wrong? We don't have to work at cutting them out or doing all that kind of stuff. But if you know somebody really wants the Lord, then throw some gas on their flame. You know? Don't slap them around and make them mad. You know? Throw some gas on the flame of their heart that wants Jesus. Encourage them. Draw them to the Lord. Reach beyond yourself. You know, the thought is this. If you never come to a revelation of Christ, at least you spent your life grabbing a hold of people all around you and dragging them in the right direction. You know, I mean, you know, or you can just go, you know, I mean, the alternative is what? No oomph forever and ever, and you just wander in the wilderness till you die. How many want that? How many of you really want to just keep wandering for years and years and years and years and years? Some of you, see, that's the problem of having so many young people. That doesn't affect you. You know, my God, I don't want 2 years in the wilderness. 2 years is wasted time. You know, it's wasting time. The bottom line is your heart. Go after the Lord. Stir yourself up. David stirred himself up. Everybody was down on him, and he got up. Remember that in the zigzag? They picked up stones to stone him. And it says David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I've had to do it many a time. I'm sure you've done it at some time in your life, but might as well just get in the habit of doing it because, you know, if you're always waiting for somebody else, you know, that's you're no different than the people waiting for a word. Well, I'll go when God gives me a word. Well, I'll go when, you know, somebody comes and encourages me. Get up. Encourage yourself. And one of the best ways to do it is to get up, encourage yourself, and then go encourage somebody else. Let's stand together and we'll close out. Father, for those that desire the faith of Abraham, that want to be separated, they want to have clarity in relationship to the vessel, clarity in relationship to the seed, I ask you right now to hear their heart. Hear what they've been praying during these sessions. Hear the desire to break out of this husk with the life of Christ, the seed coming forth and being fruitful through them. Father, help them to see the futility of the husk, the futility of the earthen vessel except to carry the treasure. And Lord, for those that have just been wandering, I pray you will stir up the heart, get after you, to see you, to be dripping with you, to breathe, and when they breathe out, Lord, it's just life. They've separated themselves unto you. They're after you. They don't need to be in a Bible school. They don't need to be in a class. They don't need to be in an environment. They're making their own environment. They're transforming everything around them as a tool to help them know you. Father, release that spirit on those that desire it. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're dismissed. God bless you.